Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Gwyntelligence Podcast. I am Harold James Preller, joined as always by Corey Stewart.
Good morning, Harold. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited to talk about our 16 and 18 Padres.
God damn right I am.
They're so exciting.
They are exciting.
I love it.
Did you enjoy the game on Wednesday? Was it Wednesday?
It was a good game.
It was a good game. It was fun.
Yes, it was my first game I attended other than the exhibition game before they had those $20 exhibition
games. Oh, the Mariner games.
Yeah, I did go to that, but this was my first regular season game. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask if it was your first time seeing Gallagher Square, but obviously it was not.
No, I saw that. I still don't get it. I don't know why anyone would pay money to sit there and watch it on TV, but I'm sure it's good for concerts. Yeah. Well, like we said.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want Group Dog to be happy.
That's all I want. And in turn, I also want Big Miz to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I noticed is I think Big Miz had a birthday, very shortly ago.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't see a message from Group Dog.
That was weird.
Is there trouble in paradise?
I don't know. We thought that the Padres would send out one of those graphics that they send out for the birthday. Yeah, but no graphic this year.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
Maybe I just thought that he cared.
Maybe there's issues. I don't know.
Do you think he was upset? Was Big Miz too negative on the team when he repeatedly sucked Eric Grubner's dick on this podcast verbally? Was that not? Does he need to be level set?
He might need to be.
I don't know. It seems weird. I would have said something. I would have, how long does it take to write a nice happy birthday, Big Miz? Especially for someone with his history of drug abuse, it would have really meant the world to him.
It really would have. Yeah. And he's doing so well now.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope it didn't send him into a spiral.
Yeah.
A marijuana spiral.
I haven't heard from him since then, so I don't know.
How the marijuanas work, where you take one and next thing you know, you're back nude in the street and in Bankers Hill, masturbating. Yeah. Sad.
It is sad.
Well, Corey, the Padres are 16 and 18. If you listen to a local radio, you would think that they're 27 and 10.
I don't even know about the 10. I might say 27 and 5.
I feel like the fan base is ecstatic with this season so far. They get down when they lose a series, but they win one series and they're back. And honestly, if you listen to Chief Turd Polisher Ben Higgins, really, if you just take out the series that they've lost,
their record
looks really great.
When he said that, it was yesterday, about the Phillies series, it's like, if you just take out the Phillies series, no, you don't get to fucking do that. You got your ass beat at home. The Phillies came in here, kicked the shit out of you guys and kicked the shit out of the Padres and showed them, hey, this is a good baseball team.
Well, Corey, that's just being negative though. really, when you look at it, if you take all the losses out of the season, the team looks really good. There's a lot of great moments.
That is true.
Pretty unbeatable.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If you take out the losses, I would say that they're unbeatable.
Yeah. Last year's season, when you take out, 10 of the losses, the team looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really do.
And you turn those 10 losses into wins. Ben did this repeatedly last year. He would go through the games where the Padres blundered and just blew games and be like, well, if you just turn this game and this game and this game into wins, you're looking at a team with 89 wins.
Right. Yeah, I was screaming what he was, talking about taking out. Just take out that Philly series.
Just between, Ben has always been a nice guy. He's been a turd polisher for ages.
Love.
I feel like this year and last year, he took the turd polishing to a new level. And I don't know if it's because he's been empowered by having his tandem turd polisher, Annie Heilbrun, on in middays, where she just says, well, one thing you can't doubt is how hard the guys are working. And I'm like, she's like, Joe Musgrove, he cares. And I'm like, who said he doesn't? Who are you arguing with here? It was Ben, and it actually followed up Ben in the morning that day where he got all mad and was like, well, to those fans out there that think Joe doesn't care about losing, say it to his face. And then he repeated it. And David Woods, hilariously, was like, well, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard any fan saying that. And he's, well, they need to say it to his face. Says it again. He's real tough and hot and bothered about it.
No one's saying that.
Who's saying Joe doesn't care?
Joe wants to win. Yeah. Joe wants to, because then he can sell more shit.
I think everyone on the team wants to win.
Like, they all want to win. Of course they do. Yeah.
I haven't heard this undercurrent of fans being like, I just think the guys don't want to win enough. They just, like, who's saying that right now?
I don't get that one at all.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah, that's a weird one. Yeah.
What I would prefer is if Joe Musgrove hadn't given up 10 home runs this year. Like, I think he cares about the fact that he's getting shelled, but. Right.
That would be cool.
He looked better on Wednesday.
He did. Like, and everybody's like, it was a really, really good outing. It really was.
He gave up another bomb.
Yeah, gave up one solo bomb in the first, and then after that, I mean, Cruz pretty much. But I think people just need to dial it back just a little bit, because it's funny when we sat down here to talk about what we're going to discuss, and we were talking about this the Reds game with Musgrove starting. You were like, oh, I took a picture of the scoreboard, and I said, I know exactly what you're going to say. I know exactly. I said, don't say it. I know exactly what you're going to say. And it was about their 5-9 hitters. And what?
Okay. And this is because people, when they saw the Padres lineup, were like, ugh, we're mailing it in today.
Well, I mean, it was a rough lineup. Well,
let me tell you. If you want to see mailing it in, the Reds had Nick Martini as their designated hitter, hitting fifth. He's hitting 187. Espinal, third base, 194. Jaime Candelario, first baseman, hitting 194. Maley, 167. Fairchild, 194. This is after their leadoff hitter is also hitting 208. And then Jonathan India, their cleanup hitter, is hitting 223. It's like the saddest lineup I've ever seen.
And obviously, batting average doesn't mean everything, but when you're 5-9 are all hitting under 200, that's really fucking sad.
Just horrendous.
Just horrendous.
And it looked like it.
Yeah.
Like,
That kid that is their catcher,
Maley.
Oh.
Maley. Yeah.
That one at bat he had near the when he struck, it was just so bad.
It was woof.
I think the base is loaded or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
That was the thing. The Reds kept getting runners on base, but because they had these awful hitters coming up in critical situations, they struck out.
Yeah.
They failed.
I think he actually got it to a full count, and I was like, if you fucking swing, you're a moron. Of course he swung. Yeah. It didn't even come close. It was like, dude, you are bad.
Yeah. I'm happy Joe looked better. It's certainly better than the alternative.
Yeah. And hopefully if he's that guy, you know, you're in a much better situation than what he has been, which is giving up bombs left and right to the point where
I mean, he seemed like he was throwing a little harder. I saw him flash up at 94 a few times, which is certainly an improvement because his velocity has been down across the board. There was the story that came out about how he tried to add a sweeper into his arsenal, which was bad and not effective. He couldn't locate it. And then he would have to throw his low velocity pitches in the zone, right?
Yeah.
Because he relies on like location, getting ahead in the count. And so he got rid of the sweeper, but he said in the process, it ruined all his other pitches.
Yeah.
But he needs to fix it. So.
What the fuck is Ruben Niebla doing?
What happened to the pitching lab?
What the hell? What is going on? Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, look, Joe cares. I heard that on 97.3 The Fan. Definitely cares. You know, the other thing he cares about is advertising for furniture restoration on his Instagram. The hilarious thing with him is like, I don't know, Otani or whoever, I'm sure has like major sponsors where I don't think he posts like sponsored posts, but if he did, it would be like Samsung's new product or like someone sponsored by like Motorola, like Fortune 500 companies.
Right.
And Joe is out there, just selling himself out for a local furniture restoration company, like a small time, like it's like when Craig Elston would post, he'd be like, I just had a great experience with this local plumber on my sink. Like, I expect that from Craig, right? He's a local, at the time, he was just a soccer broadcaster, right?
Yeah.
I don't expect that from a guy making $100 million from the Padres.
Hey, support local business. Come on.
I mean, he is a local businessman, right?
He supports a lot of local businesses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You know, supported the beach pit digger thing.
The fire pit.
Yeah, people. The fire pit guy that's now illegal in the city. Like,
Oh, are those illegal now?
I think the city is banning it. Or, they are? They're putting restrictions on beach businesses.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm glad that he could support that furniture restoration company.
Me too.
Just a huge deal.
Check really them out for all your furniture restoration needs. Yeah. Whatever their name was.
Anyways, hopefully Joe can do some more hyperbaric chamber and deep water breath holding exercises, and he'll be back in the next game.
Throwing in East County Trailer Park
next, right? I think so. That's going to be a tough assignment.
Oh, that's right.
If it doesn't get rained out,
The weather's supposed to be shit, isn't it? Yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
So they ended on a high note, right? That's a good thing.
Yes,
we're bashing Joe, but like they won 2 out of 3 against the Reds, who are a critical wild card competitor, and honestly, that's
still ahead of us, by the way.
I do hear the turd polish oftentimes, like, well, they're in second place in the division, like that matters at all?
No, it does not.
They're outside the picture in the wild card. They're behind the Washington Nationals in
your
the wild
beloved
card.
CJ Abrams, by the way.
He's a singles hitter. Don't worry.
Just hitting bombs left and right.
Look, I still don't believe in him. He's not going to hit 40 home runs. He's not going to OPS 1100 or whatever.
I'm thinking 45 home runs, 45 stolen bases. What do you think?
Oh, man, wait till they call up James Wood in like a month, and he hits 70 home runs.
Mackenzie Gore is throwing shutout after shutout.
Yeah, I saw how Fangraphs wrote like a feature on how he's striking more people out now. We should talk about that because I see it pop up on the timeline still here and there. Like, would you go back and do the Soto trade still?
Oh, are you talking about that Chris Rose clip or whatever, where it was like they should be happy with their year and a half that they got or whatever?
Is that what he said? Yeah, no, I don't know the clip. I just see Mincy angry about it. And, you know, I still think it's no doubt that you do the trade.
But
I think the assumption is that you keep him for the 2.5 years. The whole point was we were going to keep him for 2.5 years.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
One of those years was the year he was on the NLCS team. Like we needed him.
Yeah. And this was before we, you know, knew that they were going to give Manny a stupid extension and sign Xander Bogaerts to a stupid contract. And
right.
Like,
all the pieces were in place to keep Juan Soto
this year.
To keep
him with Tetis for 10 years
leads
together,
Major League Baseball in WAR, right? And what we said the whole time was, man, wait until that contract year comes up.
Yeah.
It's like Juan Soto's going to hit 60 home runs.
And they're all saying how great he is there now and all this stuff. Yeah.
Weird that he's not tanking their clubhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
How come? Well, I thought it was just Juan Soto.
So nobody's bitching about him being late to the bus in New York.
Right.
However.
And it was like, just when people are like, we had to trade him. We didn't have to trade him. There was like a series of events where we didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, well, he wasn't going to re-sign here, so we had to. Okay, but that, like, it's still super valuable this year. Like, imagine if he was on the roster still.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'd have no, well, I mean, King's been good.
They'd put pro.
Not super great, but.
Not really.
Yo, shit, what would you, I mean, are his numbers basically what Profar's are?
Profar could have played center field, though.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
And Soto would have been in left.
Listen, there are a few things in life that I know with 100% certainty. And one of those is that Jurickson and Profar is cheating. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't know how, but he's cheating.
And I don't care.
I don't care. He's cheating, and he needs to pass it along to some other people in that clubhouse.
Yeah. I've advocated for years that the people that bashed Fernando Tatis got cited for cheating.
Yeah.
All I wanted was for him to spread that throughout the clubhouse. I've said for years, how come other teams get to cheat and we don't?
Right.
The Dodgers are clearly cheating.
Clearly cheating.
Why don't we do what they're doing?
Have been for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. I said about the 98 team. Everyone's like, oh, well, Greg Vaughn was probably on steroids and like Caminiti was on steroids. Okay, well, why wasn't Chris Gomez on steroids? Why wasn't Wally Joyner on steroids?
Those two guys on steroids, that would have put them right over the top. That's all that they needed to beat the Yankees that
right?
year. Yeah.
If Wally Joyner wasn't hitting 9 home runs that year and was hitting 25, we would have won. We would have won the World Series. Yes.
Exactly.
Mark Langston, maybe you should have been juicing. Could have used a few extra miles per hour on your fastball.
Damn right. Yeah. But Profar's cheating, right?
Yes, but I'm so happy that he is. And look, I'll give him mea culpa. Like, I said Profar was going to suck. I said he was going to be terrible. I pointed out he was the worst player in baseball last year.
Why wouldn't you think he was going to suck? You would have been crazy to think he was going to be good this year.
Interestingly enough, I saw a thing of the top five left fielders in the National League. Profar is first right now in value.
That's insane.
Number five is Jesse Winker on the Nationals, who was also one of the worst players in baseball last year.
So Winker's cheating too, is what you're saying?
Probably. Look, cheating works.
Cheating works, yeah. Yeah. Wednesday, he got a couple singles in his first two at bats. And like, he comes up and I'm like, there's just no way. There's like, gets another hit.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on with this guy?
I'm waiting for the ground to open up under him and have him fall apart, but it hasn't happened yet.
When does this string of double plays when is that coming? I'm blown away.
When he was okay for us, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Or 3 years ago. Of his years.
Oh, you mean when Gruppner sent out the tweet?
Put some respect on his
name. Yeah, exactly.
He was really good for like a month, and then he would go cold for like a month or 6 weeks. Real cold.
Bunch of strikeouts.
So, we're only a month into the season, really, right now. So it could still
happen. Is Jurickson Profar the new Hosmer? Just a spectacular April, and then into the shitter?
It could be.
I'm just blown away, man. I don't get it. I don't know.
Well, hey, like we said, only one of the podcasts put out not one but two emergency episodes to celebrate Profar's arrival here. Laughs on there about signing him, those were laughs of joy and respect.
Laughing at other teams for passing up on a player that.
And for all the liars and haters out there for Jerks and Profar, unlike us, who always believed in him.
The liars and pussy ass trolls.
all those keyboard warriors in their grandmother's basement.
I don't know what to say about it, but he's cheating.
It is crazy that our team offense has been overall pretty good. I think there's this belief that our offense sucks. By WAR, we're one of the top offenses in baseball right now. They do seem like they're kind of feast or famine a little bit. And I'm sure this is helped by winning a game 15-0 or whatever.
Yeah, which is what they did last year, though.
Yeah. But the underlying stats all show the team is actually a good hitting team. The weakness is clearly the pitching so far. The starting pitching has been awful.
Yeah.
They'll throw up Joe's one other not terrible start. I think he gave up three runs in five innings, and everyone hailed it as a good start. That's actually a bad start. That's an ERA high fours. That's not good. And so if that's one of our good starts, you can tell we're kind of in trouble. Even Dylan Cease had trouble against the Phillies, which was a little alarming. He's been a good pitcher, right? He's been everything we could have asked for.
But you have to throw those out.
You have to. If you look at only the good starts from Matt Waldron this year, he's been amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, to be more granular, if you just take out the at bats where someone hit a home run against Joe Musgrove, he's actually been excellent. Same with Michael King.
Same with Michael King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think the offense is the problem here in general. We're being carried at least in the first month by a bunch of players we didn't expect. Jackson Merrill, who's kind of fallen off a cliff in the past week or so, but before that was helping us win games. Profar obviously is the number one hitter on the team right now.
The other one is Morholm. We haven't even that's another one that I'm just absolutely stunned by. Keep waiting for him just to completely shit himself.
At some point, he's going to give up four runs in a third of an inning.
Right. And then cry and pout. And, then, and then he's going to be bad for. And
then his arm months. Is going to explode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you get the same impression?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you get the impression that fans think the offense sucks?
Yes, I do. And I understand why. I mean, how many games have we looked up at the TV and they're in the sixth inning and they've got one hit or two hits or something like that. But you, like you said, it's kind of feast or famine.
I mean, even against the Reds, like the Nick Lodolo, Lodolo game, like it was bad, yeah, right? They were being no hit for like eight innings.
That was bad. Yeah. Yeah, he kicked their ass. At the same
time, Nick Lodolo's not—he's not terrible. Like he was one of the people talk about him like he's garbage, but he was like a top 100 prospect.
Team has a pretty good pitching staff.
Yeah,
I like and the guy that they beat the other Ashcraft. I like him a lot, and he hasn't had a spectacular year so far. I think his ERA is like around 4.5 or something like that. He's a good pitcher. I like that dude. Yeah. He's got some. Yeah.
Well, I think the Reds are dangerous. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a reason they're ahead of us in the wild card.
Right. I mean, yeah. But I mean, if they're going to put up, you know, a starting lineup with guys 5-9, I'll bet 200 thing, it's going to be a struggle for them. But they do have a good, they've got some good starting pitchers there.
I mean, obviously, kind of like us, like their depth isn't great.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, that segues us right into
some of our depth.
The depth is,
Who are we? Yeah, who are we talking about here? Like Tyler Wade. Wait,
okay, yeah. The Graham Pauly.
Graham Pauly.
This just cannot fucking go on. Well, I don't understand what they're doing to this kid. Like, why are they trying to fucking ruin him? I don't get it.
Okay, so Graham Pauly is like a marginal prospect to start with.
Okay, right.
The way people talk about him, and the way people talked about Jacob Marcy and stuff, you'd think they were like top 25 prospects in baseball. They're marginal prospects that, it wouldn't be the first time a quad A player came up and didn't hit in the big leagues, right?
Right.
They'll hit some home runs.
Yeah.
But they can't sustain it, right?
Yeah.
And Pauly for sure has hit some home runs off of good pitchers, two home runs. That's two of his four hits, right?
And two singles.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the singles was an infield single where he legged it out. It could have been called an error. I'm not sure what his fourth was, but I think it was a single. He strikes out like 50% of the time.
Yeah, he has 32 at bats and he struck out 15 times so far.
It's just
zero walks, by the way. Zero.
So, my theory is, who else are they going to call up right now?
Oh.
Well, Donovan Solano. But they didn't have Donovan Solano at the beginning of the year.
Right, yeah.
Donovan Solano, who's hit only one home run in his time in El Paso, where Austin Hedges hit 11 billion home runs there.
But it's not about
Carlos
the money.
Carlos Asuaje looked like he could hit home runs
It's not
there.
About the money. Like, you could go get Brandon Belt right now. Right now.
To be our DH?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. But they're not going to do that. Instead, we have Ben and Woods asking Schilt, hey, what have we heard about Donovan Solano? When's he coming?
It reminds me of...
Who gives a fuck?
Who was that player last year? We had one that was in the minor leagues that ended up sucking and we released him after like 3 weeks. But there was a guy that was hitting in AAA and people were like, they would ask Bob Melvin the same thing. Like, when's this guy getting called up? When's he coming up?
Who
like,
was that?
It's some quad A player. It's always some quad A player. Yeah. Like, Donovan Solano's fine. I don't know what we're going to do with him. Is he the DH?
He's got to be the DH. My thing with Pauly is I'm not like saying Graham Pauly sucks. I'm not saying that at all. Like, I'm just saying he has no business being up here right now. He should be down in El Paso hitting a million fucking bombs.
He really
down
should
there
be
and just getting his confidence and learning, playing every day, getting consistent at bats, getting consistent playing time. And he's not. He's in a role that a veteran should be in. You got to have some veterans coming off that bench.
I've heard that.
Yeah, a pinch hitting role where you sit there and all of a sudden it's like, all right, okay, get up there. That's not for a 20. What is he? 20? 21?
20.
What the fuck is he?
I don't know. He went to college. He went to college. So he's probably like 24.
Yeah. So, okay. Is he that old?
Okay.
But he's barely played in 23. Okay. But he like graduated from Duke in 22, right?
Yeah.
So like he's barely played in the minors.
Honestly, you could argue he should be in AA. He only had 80 some odd at bats at AA.
He should be learning the game. And instead he's sitting, and I know you can learn sitting in the dugout and all that, but fuck, man, if he's going to be in a pinch hitting role like that or whatever, and you're throwing him out there against these badass relievers that are pumping 97 or whatever, that's fucked up. Like, that's not what he should be looking at right now.
I guess I don't worry about ruining him. I really couldn't care about Graham Pauly in the long term.
Right.
The odds are he's not a long term piece.
Yeah.
So I see it from the calculus of, okay, he's our best current option on the big league roster. I don't know if that's the case anymore now that they brought in Solano. We could have that discussion.
Well, they haven't brought in Solano.
But prior to Solano, joining the organization, like, who else would you have wanted called up?
That's the thing. I don't know.
There's no, it was like him or Marcy, who is also not ready and is also like floundering in the minors again. Like, there was no one else. We didn't have any depth for it. So to me, because I view Graham Pauly as a non-prospect.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care what happens to him. What I do care about is that we have a guy who DHs, who's hitting 100 and has 4 hits on the season. Like, and then every time he's not in the lineup, I have to see on Twitter, hey, why isn't Graham Pauly in the lineup? Well, I don't know. Maybe because he totally blows.
Yeah.
And we're trying to win games, and it doesn't make sense to have a 100 hitter hitting 5th in the lineup.
Fifth? I couldn't believe that the other day.
Like, I'm not saying he won't be good someday, right, but he's not good right now.
No.
And we're trying to win games, and it doesn't help to have someone hitting 100 on the roster.
Yeah. Right. It's not his fault. He's overmatched. He shouldn't be there. And another guy that shouldn't be there while we're discussing this is Kolek.
Like, we talked about this last episode, right?
Yeah.
You have a Rule 5 guy. They're supposed to be the last ones off the bench.
Right. You should, there's no, if you consider yourself to be a serious contender for a playoff spot, right? You shouldn't be trying to hide a Rule 5 guy. A period.
Like, no. At all. A serious team doesn't carry a Rule 5 guy.
No, not at all.
And his stats, when you look at it on paper, are okay.
They're fine.
I think his ERA is like 3.75 or something.
Yeah.
But that's because he's not getting charged with the run. He for some reason, Sleepy Mike always brings him in when there's like a critical situation in the game, a turning point of the game, the game is tied in Colorado after the Wandy has given up the lead.
Oh, yes.
He turns to Kolek. And I get it, like, handedness wise, Mike Schilt explained it when he yelled at our beloved Dennis Lynn, which we can talk about later. But
yeah.
You're not supposed to bring your Rule 5 guy out when the game is on the line. Right. You're supposed to bring him in for mop-up games, right?
Yeah, and if you're a team that's going to lose 95 games or whatever, that's when you have a Rule 5 guy that you bring out for,
right.
You know, yeah.
That's when you bring out Luis Perdomo.
Yeah, don't tell me you're trying to get into the playoffs and be a playoff contender if you're carrying a Rule 5 guy.
Yeah,
period.
And
so
Kolek has come in a few games where he's given up the lead by coming on with another pitcher's inherited runners, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's not charged with those ERA. He's not charged to his ERA for those runs.
Yeah, but he's inherited.
He was the one who gave up the runs.
Yes, right.
I don't know who we would call up instead. I guess one of these starters, but you don't really want to convert them into a reliever right now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily an indictment on Schilt. It's more an indictment on Preller for having no depth at all in the system after being told I guess he could call up Vasquez, but he seemed like he sucked also.
And the other thing, the other wild card is that the fact that Cosgrove is just ass this year.
Yeah.
I mean, complete ass. And demoted him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have seen that coming.
They really shoved him through the doggy door down to AAA. Am I right? Am I right, guys?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Maybe we could bring Jacob Nix back and have the dynamic duo together again.
We could do that.
You know what? I'd be in favor of that just because our dear, 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 dear friend, St. Patrick Daly, would be pleased.
You know, I was looking for him the other day, Wednesday. I was kind of peering down.
Trying to look down in the owner's box section?
Yeah, I saw his wife, but I didn't see him. So, Did you? Did you see him?
I did not. Oh, okay. I did not.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Love you, Patrick.
I did have to sit part the first few innings in the 211 sides underneath the right field scoreboard in the upper deck.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. HJ's work had some event out there.
Oh.
I, of course, had Premier Club seats.
And you had to make an appearance?
Yes, I had to bring my 2-year-old out to the right field bleachers, say, you know, give some handshakes.
Sign some
some autographs.
And then, all right. Good to see you guys. I'm out.
It's dreadful.
Yeah, I'm going back to my good seats.
It's blazing hot. You can't see anything. It's another seat where I'm like, why even come? It's
not a great crowd on Wednesday.
Oh, I mentioned this to our beloved Bobby Cressy there. Pretty one of the worst crowds I've seen since pre-COVID. I'd say since pre-COVID.
It's been. I mean, I know it was a Wednesday day game against the Reds and all that, but.
I mean, last September's day games were better than that. Attended than that.
Yeah. I mean, it was sparse.
The real sparse.
Yeah.
There was even like school field trips there, filling the seats. Yeah. And it was still sparse. I didn't notice this. So I waited until after that Nick Lodolo game. Buy your tickets to go on StubHub to buy a seat.
Yeah.
I got Premier Club row like 7 seats.
Okay.
$32. I haven't seen prices like that on the secondary market since like 2019.
32
2018
bucks?
Maybe. Pre-Manny, basically.
That's a score,
right? I checked last year, the Premier Club seats I bought on StubHub, $75, $70, $68, $70. That's what I paid per seat.
Wow.
Those are for Wednesday day games. Cause that's like my number one day to go. Wednesday day games.
Yeah.
$32, 2 seats.
Damn.
So it makes me, and I saw how empty the stadium was, and it made me wonder, like, are these season ticket holders are taking a bath this year, right?
Yeah, I kept looking around because I was like, is it everybody just late arriving? Like, what's going on? And it never filled up. And we were on third base side, like right above just off to the side of the Reds dugout, and like it was 4 of us. And we had extra seats on one side, so we could spread out. Like, I mean, we were row 7. I mean, we're right on the dugout. Great seats.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was surprising.
I mean, that's a long-term concern in that if season ticket holder,
you said it at the beginning of the season. Yep.
They've been printing money, right?
Yes.
And
when they start losing money, that's when the,
when those tickets go unsold, that's a disaster for them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You go maybe whatever you make off the Dodgers game, what do you think they profit? Double? Make $100 a ticket maybe?
Probably.
Okay. Well, you have these tickets with face value of $60. Like 2 games go by and you can't sell the ticket. You've already lost the profits on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last year when every game had 38,000 people in it, the odds of having a ticket unsold were probably pretty low. It's probably on you at that point if it didn't get sold.
So this year you're going to make them on the Dodgers, Yankees are coming too, right?
I think. I mean, giveaway games in general is the hope.
Isn't Boston coming? Isn't that the big one?
I don't know.
Even the Red Sox are.
I never go to like Saturday, Friday games. So I don't even look at those big games.
I try to avoid those.
I don't go to giveaway games. I'm not. There was a time when I was into it, but
yeah.
They're not giveaways. If you do the math and you compare the, let's say it's like a Monday giveaway.
Yeah.
Just compare the price between your seat on that Monday and the Tuesday. And that's the cost of the giveaway that you're paying because they're equal demand games. Monday and Tuesday, they're both the lowest tier of game.
Right.
You're ending up paying like 15, 20 bucks for that, the stupid beanie.
For the beanie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the palm, it removes though.
Does it? I wish someone would tell me about that.
Yeah. I heard that after the fact. Otherwise I would have won at that game, but they didn't talk about it.
I wish someone with the team would demonstrate that on television, you know, 19 to 22 times beforehand. Otherwise maybe I would have gone for that removable beanie.
Should we talk about that?
What's the point of the removable beanie?
I don't fucking know.
Are there people that don't like the pom-pom on it?
I guess.
Is that real? I've never heard of that before. I thought that was just go
buy a fucking beanie.
A feature of a beanie.
What are they, $15?
Yes, 18 bucks? Like $15.
Even in the Padre store, 20 max?
And it's not giveaway quality.
Right. It's nice.
I don't know. Yeah. So I'm off giveaways. Like Wednesday day games. That's my thing. I like Wednesday day games. I like to see Bobby Cressy. I like to hear him play the Kid Icarus theme.
Are they selling more throughout the broadcast this year than they were last year, in your opinion?
Yes. Yes, right? Of course.
Like, it's a lot.
Because the baseball's not selling the tickets anymore.
Yeah.
Per se, right?
Right.
The players aren't selling it. This is back to Partello era.
Yeah, I love Don and
Mark. It's hiding the baseball now.
I love them. And obviously they're not the ones who, you know, decide, we're going to talk about group outings 10 times throughout this game. But it seems to be a lot more this year even than it was last year.
I think you could look at what's being targeted because in the past they would very specifically target like expensive group sales areas on the broadcast, right? Yeah. Because the normal seats were filled. They didn't need to waste time marketing that. I think you can read between the lines and see that most of the attention is not on the agave club or whatever.
Yeah.
It's on things that bring normal people in to fill normal seats because those aren't being sold this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was looking up at the agave club, Wednesday, and that it looked empty. Those are like, I took a look at one game. I can't remember what it was. Those are like $240 a ticket or something like that.
I was looking at the tickets.
Yeah. Okay.
I had to look up. I've gotten all these emails about the Agave Club. I think it's all inclusive.
Not booze, but.
Is booze not included? Yeah, I think booze isn't included. So then I'm out.
So it's just like the Coronado Club, basically, which is like.
I think so. Don't you get booze in the Coronado Club?
I don't think so.
Or you get beer and wine?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just like.
Well, I don't care for that.
Waters and shit like that. Yeah.
The only time I'm in on all inclusive, I don't want to eat 9 hot dogs. They're gross.
Yeah. If I want all most inclusive, of the food
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the food at the ballpark's gross.
Yeah.
It's time for people to admit that.
Yeah. There's some good stuff down, you know, in Patrick seats, but that's the best. Yeah. But there is a Spiro's there now. I don't know if you've heard of that yet. There is one at the ballpark.
You know, once they drop John Quintera as their spokesman, I'm done with Spiro's. To do that to a legacy figure like John Quintero.
To a legend?
Yes. The play-by-play announcer for the Indoor Football League, San Diego...
Strike Force.
To do that to a man like that is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
To me. Spiro.
Now he's doing shitty podcasts.
Right.
God. Wow. Yeah, and still we have Chris Ello screaming at us. Go buy your Euro! Like, right. Dude, can you just take it down a notch, man?
It's amazing to say this, like with no sarcasm in this, but like, it's incredible that they've downgraded from John Quintero by bringing on Chris Ello as their spokesperson. Like, it's like they went to 97.3 and were like, hey, sales guy, I'm interested in you giving me the worst personality currently on air. To do this endorsement.
Of all the hosts, who hates Padres fans the most?
Literally has segments that's the guy created for him about how much smarter he is than the Padres fans.
That's the guy we want. Three locations.
He's exactly the one I want to tell me about where good Greek food is available on the Coronado waterfront.
Exactly.
An area that I never go to and never will go to.
Oh my God! Oh.
Are you in the Coronado's kind of mediocre?
Coronado's fine. It's like
Why would you go to Coronado
If you have visitors and they want to?
What do they want to see? Hilton Hotel?
They want to go across the bridge and then they want to see that view.
Like they've never seen a bridge.
But that
before?
View of downtown. That's the whole thing. And then you see it. And then you get back in your car and you go back over the bridge.
What's the fancy restaurant on the water by the airport?
Costera?
Yeah. Wouldn't you go to Costera?
Well, it would be cheaper
just
to drive.
You want to ride the stupid water taxi?
It would be way cheaper just to drive over the bridge, look, take your pictures, and turn right back around and go back.
Honestly sounds dreadful to me. It's like, is this for bumpkins that have never seen skyline before?
Yeah.
That haven't seen the Des Moines skyline where they're from?
Absolutely.
Even Phoenix has a skyline. Like,
It ain't like that skyline.
Just I can't imagine doing that. Like,
I think that's
and it's
much
like people are like, oh, I want to see the Hotel Del. Literally, just a Hilton. It's a Hilton hotel.
Or if you want to go over there and you want
the
to hang
only
out
time
in front
I
of
ever
Manny's
went there,
house and wait for Manny to come out.
Oh, like like some people on Padres Twitter.
Let's just go to Manny's house.
Yeah. Like when I lived downtown, I would bring my dog to the dog beach. It was the closest. Actually, OB was actually close. Similar drive times, I think. For me. That's actually the only time in my entire life, I think, that I've sought out going to Coronado.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said,
the golf course is like a municipal course that takes 7 hours to play. Like, I don't get it. You can't go in the water there. Like, it's either polluted or the waves break right on the shore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it's not for me. I don't know.
The only good time I've had in Coronado was at, Charisma's wedding. And that was great.
Well, that's because Chris was there.
Yeah. Well, God, that guy's a fucking superstar. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
He's the number one alpha male.
He really is a superstar.
nobody sports Crocs like that guy.
Nobody. No.
Does he fill his Crocs with what are the things the kids put in? Giblets or something like that?
Jewels or something? What are they called?
I don't know. My kids' school banned trading them because there were hurt feelings flare. About trading them. Yeah, the flair. Does he have good flair on his Crocs?
You know who else had flair? Where are we going?
Where were we?
I have no idea.
Were we talking about baseball? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, you know, we should go back to the Mike Schilt.
Were we bashing Kolek?
We were bashing Kolek. But, you know, we should go. Okay, so, because you briefly mentioned it, the Dennis thing.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
I feel like the initial reaction from people where it was like, it's great that we have a manager that shows fire. And, like, they're like, Sleepy Bob would have just been...
they fucking love it, man.
I don't...
He loses his mind. Like when he got thrown out of that game, everybody was just like jizzing all over themselves.
Tatis that got brushed back and he, in his post game, was like, I'm issuing a verbal warning.
Wait, did he say that?
Something like that.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Instead of actual action, hitting a batter.
How many times has he been brushed back this year?
Right. And how many times have we retaliated? But if you listen to A, local radio, B, like our fan base, they're like, it feels so good to have a manager that sticks up for the players. And I'm like, did he? Like, he let it happen and now it's happening again. So it seems like we're not doing anything actually.
Yeah.
And then I heard, I think Craig, was like, and he's been a big Schilt verbal supporter.
Yeah.
He was like, oh yeah, it's like he sticks with his pitchers and believes in them. And I'm like, this is exactly what everyone complained about Sleepy Bob last year.
Everyone shit on Bob for that.
He was too much of a player's manager, stuck with his starters too long, stuck with his players too long, and then bad stuff would happen. That's what Mike Schilt is doing. There's no difference. It's almost like they have similar strategies that are being passed down to them by the same person.
Like, he's just like, he's, okay, like, he's Mr. Fiery.
He's not bad.
Like, I get it. Like, he's Mr. Fiery. And that's great. And like, because everybody has their own personality or whatever. He's Mr. Fiery. Melvin wasn't like that. He was like, okay, you guys are adults. You're veterans, or a lot of you are veterans. Yeah. Like, take care of your shit.
I mean, like, if we swap Schilt in last year, okay?
Yeah.
And you have fiery Schilt, and I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but let's say he yells at Juan Soto for being late, or yells at Manny for being late, because that was part of the story as well, right?
Yeah.
How do we think that would have gone over? Would that have saved the season last year?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Fiery's not always good. Like, have you had a boss that's fiery, has a short temper? Like, in general, do you like people that have a short temper?
Yeah. No.
I generally don't.
No, yeah.
It's motivating very briefly because you want to avoid being yelled at or being a victim of the temper. But that eventually turns into resentment towards the person, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, abusing Dennis for what I thought was a pretty fair question. And Mike Schilt also twisted his words. I don't know if you... Dennis went on with Darren. And actually defended himself and was like, I didn't say what Mike Schilt said. So, you know, I didn't really have anything to respond with.
Okay. And obviously, I'm the biggest Dennis Lynn lover ever. And
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've always been very positive towards those with humongous penises.
Exactly.
Dennis Lynn is one of those gentlemen, from what I've heard.
Yeah. So, there were a couple things that really bothered me about that exchange. I love the fact that Schilt does stand up for his guys. That's great. And you absolutely
should. It's better than not standing up for them.
Yeah, right. But exactly. Then throwing them under the bus. It's also implying that
Sleepy Bob threw his players under the bus or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, the first thing that bothered me about that exchange was AC basically asked the same fucking question that Dennis did. And he answered that question with a normal answer, what he was thinking. And then Dennis kind of pushed it a little bit because he should have, Wandy faced five batters or something in that inning. I can't remember now. It's been a bit.
I think it was five, but it was more than the minimum three.
More than the minimum three. And then Schilt like just turns on a fucking dime and is like, oh, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to just go out and get Wandy after he gives up the home run? Like, Dennis isn't a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Dennis is AJ's very smart too. He's hands down the smartest guy in that press box.
Yeah.
Okay. And he knows that there's a batter. There's three batters you got to face, blah, 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 blah. So obviously he wasn't saying, oh, you have to run out there and grab him after the home run, right, which you can't do anyway. He wasn't fucking saying that. So don't say it. Like, he was just saying after those three batters, like, you could pretty much tell he was in a, he was not the Wandy that we've seen so far, mm-hmm, this year, and which has surprisingly been very good, actually.
Yeah.
And so he was just going, hey, no. Like, after the three batters, did you think, hey, maybe it's time to go get him because he doesn't have it today? And right, that's fine. That's a fair question. And he lost it on it. But it was just like,
dude, the stare down that he gave him.
Yeah, like that kind of shit.
So here, you want to hear my theory on this?
What can I tell you? Mine first?
Yeah.
AC's his boy. AC's his PR boy. And so he's going to treat AC much nicer than Dennis. And Dennis tells the truth and has been obviously critical of the Padres, which Preller doesn't like. So it was an easy opportunity for Mike Schilt to score some points with the boss.
Okay.
And that's exactly what he did.
That's my theory as well. Yeah. In that Mike Schilt didn't have a bench role last year. He was basically like a special assistant for AJ.
An advisor
and
guy.
You can just imagine the day Dennis's and Ken Rosenthal's article came out, AJ commiserating with Mike Schilt in his office, being like, can you believe this? Like, read this thing here. Like, look at this dickhead.
This isn't true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dennis Lin's out to get us again.
Exactly.
And, us. Yes. He would have said us. Because Mike Schilt is AJ's boy.
Yes.
Right? He is AJ's proxy.
Yeah. Oh, and his little minions that he has on Twitter that are bashing Dennis all the time.
Oh, like, are those the guys that accept free tickets from AJ when the team travels?
Yes, exactly.
Something that this podcast would never do.
Never.
Yeah. Except for Marver, who did it, and I made fun of him for it. But other than Marver.
Other than that. Yeah, but that's exactly what it was. I mean, we saw the PR shit that AC was putting out for Schilt.
We 10,000 words about him selling candy at a Little League game.
Oh, my God, mentioning every person that he met.
They asked essentially the same question.
Yeah, they asked this, and one guy who, like, sucks them off constantly didn't get yelled at, and the guy who actually is a critical journalist got yelled at.
Could it be racism?
Who's to say?
I'm just asking the question.
We're just asking questions. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We're just trying to create a discussion.
I thought Schilt was completely acting in an unacceptable manner. And to me, that I know there were people that celebrated it. I don't see that. I don't really respect treating fellow professionals in that manner.
There's a lot of people that think that Dennis's job is to
suck the team off
report good things.
That's what they think the media's role is. Like, but that's a purely San Diego thing.
It truly is. Now AJ Casavell, who obviously writes for MLB.com, would put the Padres. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's not going to be...
He's literally an employee of the league and the ownership.
So if you're looking for that, and that's not a bash at AJ at all, because I really like him and I enjoy it, like his newsletter, I enjoy his stuff. I really do.
You're right. He's a nuts and bolts guy.
Exactly.
He writes things that are non-controversial.
Yes, if you want that, you read him.
Informational with minimal opinion.
Yes.
Probably targeting what he's choosing to cover.
Yes, but right. Yeah. Look, the same thing with Scanlon. Like, mm-hmm. You're not going to hear Scanlon open up the press conference, or not the press conference, but the manager's post game report or whatever, by going like, "What the fuck were you doing?"
Yeah.
Like that will never, ever, ever happen. Like Scanlon, I think Scanlon is a bigger turd polisher than even Ben Higgins is.
Oh,
like, it's amazing.
He is, but that's literally his.
He's
that
a
is
Padres
his job.
Employee.
His job that's is his to job. Be a turd polisher.
Exactly.
So his job is to turd polish, suck up time out of the manager's report. Like, let's take the Colorado game. I don't know if this is what happened, but this is Scan's job, right? Okay, they've blown the game. They lost the game.
Yeah.
Scan's job is to lead off the interview with like, "Hey, Skip, can you talk to us about, I don't know, who hit well in that game to get,
Profar. Oh. He had a home run. Yeah.
Profar's home run what kind of impact he's had on the team.
Yeah.
So then Schilt can kill 3 minutes talking about it.
Exactly.
Leaving Dennis one question, AC two questions.
And then he's out.
Right?
Yeah.
sometimes they throw Agler in on the pregame, the scrums and the dugout and stuff, so that you have Scan ask a question, team employee Jesse ask a question, and then Tony Gwynn Jr. asks a question, another team employee, and then you get to Dennis's one question or Bernie's one question. Like, it's all part of the strategy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're looking for that from Dennis Lynn, you're not going to get it. Like, that's not his job.
Right.
At all his job. And so people get mad at him about it. And like, they just don't understand what his role is. And his role isn't to like bash them, but if there's shitty stuff coming up, he's going to say it.
It's to report.
Yeah, right. That's his job.
Oh, but I hear he just makes up stories because he has an agenda.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure he gets paid more if he's more negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he just uses unnamed sources, which is exactly what fucking AC did when he did the Machado piece last year.
The team uses unnamed sources all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Shit. But most of the time, they are the unnamed sources, fuckers. Like,
who do you think Dennis is talking to?
Where do you think he's getting this?
Team employees.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to give their name so AJ can fire them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I really didn't like that. That's really shitty. That's a shitty way to score points with your boss.
Yeah. And that's what it was.
And that's all it was. Yeah.
This isn't to say that I dislike Mike Schilt. Mm. He's adequate. I think he's fine. I disagree with some of his moves, but I disagreed with a lot of Bruce Bochy's moves.
Yeah,
you know,
right, yes,
that's
yeah.
the nature of being a manager. You can't ever succeed 100% of the time.
Constantly,
I would have pulled Wandy Peralta earlier. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have given him a guaranteed 4-year contract. There's a lot of things about Wandy Peralta who I could comment on, but.
He's been much better than what we were expecting, though, right?
No, he's been exactly what we expected.
Well, I mean, both. Throw out the Rockies game.
He's not been that good. He doesn't strike out anyone.
Well, but he was getting out. He wasn't shitting the bed like he did in Colorado.
I don't know if you read.
He shit the bed in Colorado.
I don't know if you read letters to AJ. So letters to AJ had a really insightful article about that game where he went in and showed like, you know, the metrics on his pitches where you can see that his pitch, his sinker that he throws, whatever he throws to get a ground ball, was like breaking 4 inches less, which is significant. And he was like, if you look at where Campusano set up for the pitch and where the pitch actually came, it's about 4 inches. Oh. So when he's aiming for the outside of the plate and it doesn't break the 4 inches it normally would, it's right in the middle of the plate where you can hit it.
Yeah.
And so letters to AJ pointed out that, okay, that's true, right? His pitches are breaking less. That's the nature of playing in Colorado.
Yeah.
But you can also prepare your team and sit down with Wandy and be like, hey, Wandy, I know you think it's going to go here, but it's going to go here. So you need to aim here so that it actually goes here.
Like, that's what they did with Waldron.
Right.
Like, they had Waldron do that bullpen session. And so he could work out. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were obviously everybody was worried. Like we all thought he was going to get shelled. Yeah. But that's what they did with him.
And so letters to AJ pointed out that it's an entirely fixable situation if you plan for it ahead of time. And there's certainly reasons why you might not do that. Like maybe it gets stuck in your head and the next game at sea level, you're pitching in a Colorado muscle memory mindset.
Oh, okay.
And now your pitch is going to be out of the strike zone or something. Like, right. I don't know, but he did. Just purely on like where Wandy's pitches were, it has a lot to do with the atmospherics of Colorado.
Yeah.
At the same time, Wandy Peralta, a lot of people look at his ERA last year, but if you look at his FIP and his XFIP, like his expected results, they were much worse, which is why he was worth negative half a WAR last year, despite having a seemingly good ERA. He succeeded on smoke and mirrors last year, according to the metrics, and his metrics are almost exactly the same this year. He's a mid-4 expected ERA player. So that's where he's at. It's to be expected.
So get ready to see more of what we saw.
He is what he is, right? He'll have a good outing. Yeah. He'll have a bad outing. Yeah. He's not Robert Suarez, you know?
Yeah, the bullpen thing, I think they're like, I believe they're fourth in the number of innings that the bullpen has.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a worry.
That's a long term worry.
Forward. Right now, okay, whatever. Like the Matsui thing, I feel like we see him, and he's been great, but I feel like we see him all the time. And he's been very, very good, but it's like...
I don't think I realized that Matsui only throws 87. Maybe I didn't notice it watching him on TV, but I watched him intently on Wednesday and watched the scoreboard. Every pitch, 87. Fastball, 87.
The thing that
I thought he could touch the low 90s.
You know what really stood out to me was when just watching him on the mound, like, he's so short. Like,
yeah.
He's such a little dude. Which is like, wow, that's a little dude.
Yeah.
He's not very big at all.
I do see him getting in more trouble lately. Like, am I correct? On Wednesday, he put two runners on, and then did they change pitchers?
They got out of there.
But they got out of the inning?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. He's been good. He really has.
I worry a little like the book's going to get out on him.
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He's like the new Tim Hill. It's like.
Not to make cultural assumptions, but I mean, the Japanese pitchers like throw 11 billion innings. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not too worried about his fatigue.
I'm
worried about his effectiveness.
Yeah. The more time that he is out there, the more. Yeah.
Yeah.
That they gather. Yeah, but yeah, it seems like he's the new Tim Hill. Hey, it's like, okay, go get him.
Remember when people were talking about Woo Suk Go, and they were like, he's one of the candidates for closer this year.
That poor dude.
I saw he's getting crushed in AA right now.
He must just like want to be going, like, can I fucking go home, man? He's in San Antonio.
He's getting guaranteed money for 4 years, three years, whatever.
God, I think it would take more for me to live in San Antonio.
I wouldn't. If you want to pay me $3 million a year, I'll go to San Antonio tomorrow.
Like, he's doing bus rides and shit. Like,
He's fine. Let's not cry for Woo Suk Go.
That's fine. It's fine. But I
can't believe Wandy Peralta's here for 4 years. He's like 35 years old.
I mean, the Pomeranz deal was 4 years, right?
Jesus. Well, presumably you would learn a lesson.
How old
right?
is Peralta?
I think he's 35.
Is he 35?
He's not young.
And it was four. Jesus.
He's an old.
Fucking ages.
He's old. He's younger than me.
The color's terrible.
Jesus, like, Christ. What are we doing?
I don't fucking find out. Fuck if I know.
Well, hey, Corey, like I said, if you just take away all the series that they lost, the record looks surprisingly good.
It really does. It really does.
Peralta's, I'm wrong. He's 32. Oh. He'll be 36. By the
motherfucker
end of
looks 42, though. I'll tell you that.
Looks like Jesse Orozco out there. What else are we going to cover today? Okay, we defended the honor of our beloved Dennis Lynn.
Goddamn right we did. And we will every single podcast. Oh, you haven't ripped Wayne yet.
I did have a quip about
him. Oh, yeah, you did.
Back to the Wayne years.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, where you just ignore the baseball team and you actively make it bad and you just continually point out your cheap garbage giveaways.
That's true. That's true. Are there any giveaways that you want this year?
No.
What am I going to do? Not a single one?
No. If you go in that closet in there, it's full of a bunch of giveaway items. If you want a fedora on your way out, I've got it for you. I've got many models of Padres fedora. Remember when Partello insisted that what Padres fans want here is a fedora? Just yearly fedoras, different colors.
So you have at least two fedoras.
Three, here? I think I have three.
Okay, you and I after this podcast, we're taking a picture with fedoras on, and you can obviously blur your face because we know that you're anonymous. But
since that day, have you seen a single person wear one of the Padres fedoras?
No,
outside of the giveaway day where everyone looks embarrassing wearing it.
No, absolutely.
But
not.
Yet Partello for like three straight years was like, this is going to be our opening day giveaway, our big giveaway. Attention getter.
I hated the hat that they gave away for the opening series with the fake leather
all
bill
the hats
or whatever.
Look awful. Oh. I think all of them look awful.
Oh my
and
God,
because they insist on not just doing a replica hat because that would cannibalize their sales.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They come up with these awful designs.
Yeah, some of them are so bad. Yeah, that fake leather one was like, oh, bro, no, thank you.
I have enough of the, like, quote-unquote hoodies that are, like, thin T-shirts that are ill-fitting. None of them fit correctly. It's a pain to find your size. They'll be like, yeah, we're out of large. You got to go over to this other gate. Okay, well, that's going to take me 20 minutes. That nowadays, that's like three innings.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the out at the park hat this year, fucking fantastic.
But
I mean, I'm not
going to
wear
that.
It.
You paid for that, right?
Oh, yeah. That was a theme game one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like they're kind of pushing more into that theme game. Well, like, they're doing collector pin things or whatever. You've seen those? Yeah. Like,
but that's the thing. Now? People are like, well, you have to pay extra for those. And I keep going back to the giveaway games, like I said.
You're paying for them.
It's just it's hidden.
Yeah, for that.
And you're forced to pay it. It would actually be better if the giveaway games were just sold as theme games, where when you buy in the ticket, there's a checkbox that says, giveaway, no giveaway. And you could save $15 if you did no giveaway. Like, honestly, that's the same thing a theme game is, right? You can choose to buy the ticket with the checkbox for the theme game or not.
Yeah.
To me, that's what giveaways are.
Yeah.
They're theme games.
Right. Yeah.
Except the theme games seem to have better giveaways.
Yeah. I've got like three great Padres hoodies. That's all I need. I don't need any more than that. Like, I don't need
a paper thin, weird, you know, Chinese factory sizing thing.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I've got the replica jerseys upstairs. Like, what do I need my Cameron Maybin replica jersey for? I've worn it zero times after. Those also fit weird.
I'm not a jersey guy now. Like,
No, grown-up shouldn't.
I don't wear jerseys.
I've said this before. Like, grown-up shouldn't wear jerseys unless it's for a bit.
Guy
that wears Johnny Manziel jersey to the game, that's a bit. That's fine. I think it's fine.
That's a bad bit, though.
It's a bit, though.
It's a bad bit. Is it not?
It's not my favorite bit.
Like, every time I see that, I'm like,
but at least, you know, if I wear a Jabari Blast jersey to the game,
now that's
my Chinese
a good
replica
bit.
Blast jersey.
That's a good bit.
I'm not wearing it because I want to look like the players. It's
you're a Blast lover. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's a good bit. The Manziel one, that's not a good bit. By the way, I saw a woman right in front of us because we were like right by the dugout, the Reds dugout, so there was a lot of Reds fans by us. She was wearing a Jay Bruce jersey.
Jay Bruce.
Holy shit, that's awesome. And it was like a full-on authentic fucking Jay Bruce jersey.
Man,
like,
not even Adam Dunn?
Yeah, like, come on.
Like, guy that buys the personal jersey, like number, like you're Matt Scraby, and you get number 69, and it says Coxman on the back. Like, okay, you spend $250 on that? That's a good bit.
For Scribinator night?
Yeah, that's a bit. I like it.
The other one that I do like also is when somebody buys one of like the spring training jerseys or whatever, one of the game-worn spring of like some jack-off.
At the garage.
At the garage.
They spend $35 on it.
Exactly. It's somebody that, you know, didn't even play in a regular season game.
Those are cool. Number 79, like no name, not even bothering to print their name on the back.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 That's cool. I'm okay.
It was Wyatt Hoffman's jersey.
What you scouted out Wyatt Hoffman? What'd you think? Will we be seeing him soon?
He's a great novelty. he got actively booed by the crowd when I was there.
God, that's brutal.
He's not good. He was hitting second or third in the lineup for some reason. He's just a player coach, it seems like. He's a guy to say that Hoffman is on the team. Giving Trevor somewhere close to go watch his son play.
So when you went up like really, really early in the year, right?
Yeah, before DeVries went there.
Okay, I was just gonna say.
The only name you would know is Dylan Head, who was like 0-for-5. I think he's hit a little bit better.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think I've said I'm not really a Dylan Head believer, but
right.
But hey, I wasn't a CJ Abrams believer either.
And what's crazy, because you're a huge Head fan.
Love Head.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going up and seeing him.
Head?
No.
Some Head up there?
Let's go. Lake Elsinore, hit the KFC buffet, get a little Head.
Yeah. That sounds like a perfect day to me.
But DeVries, he's going to be there for what? Like,
you probably got to go. Yeah. You want to go soon anyways.
He'll get two hits and AJ will be like, promote him.
You want to go soon anyways because it gets hot.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. The fucking traffic going up there is brutal, though.
You know, it wasn't bad on a Sunday.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, day games. That's my thing. Day games.
That's the way to go. Yeah.
Saturday night, not that bad. You know, I was actually looking.
If you go during the week, though, you're fucked.
It's not worth it ever. No.
Well, we could take the helicopter, though, the HA Prolar.
Oh, the HA copter.
Yeah, the HA copter. We could do that. Yeah, that'd be nice. Just land on the field.
Yeah, don't they? There's an airstrip there.
We get out just waving at people.
Yeah. Park at the casino.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hosts of the Quintelligence.
You know, I was looking at a suite up there.
Who the fuck are these guys?
Did you know you can get a suite for $250 up there?
Holy
10
shit.
People? $25 a person?
Get a suite?
I think I'm going to go.
Get a suite? Head? Sounds like a great night.
Yeah, KFC buffet? Cap the night off at the Hampton Inn down the street?
Hell yes.
Or where did I stay? I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express Lake Elsinore one time.
Holiday Inn Expresses can be decent.
Free breakfast.
Yeah, they could be pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, there's a Denny's right there. Like, Lake Elsinore has everything you need.
Shit.
It's a retro video game store there. You can buy some Super Nintendo games. It's got everything. God. Lake Elsinore Casino. It's paradise on earth.
I think we should do this.
Maybe get some waterfront property.
Do a little sweet night action up there.
Yeah, you just got to rake the needles out of the what washes up overnight, and you got a great waterfront. Oh, we had some clips to play, don't we?
We do. Oh, yes, we do. Yeah, we got one phone call, right? Was that it?
Just one message? Phone call. I haven't listened to it, but it looked like it was from a celebrity.
Oh, well, I mean, that's pretty much all that calls into this podcast, right? Is celebrities.
Yeah, let me find it.
Yeah.
I guess I should have put out that we had an episode coming up for the voicemail line.
Oh, but yeah, you probably should have said
Don Trickard's probably pretty busy, so
yeah,
you can't count on him every time.
Yeah, he's they're on the road, and you know what he does when they're on the road.
Road beef. Could have used some in Colorado, that's for sure. Okay, here's the call we've got. Let's see what it is.
Hello, gentlemen. First time, long time. I wanted to hear your thoughts regarding growing a little mustache in honor of the late, great Peter Seidler. How small is too small? And maybe if it was really small, we could slap it around a little. Maybe spit on it, too, or take it for a little ride.
See where it takes us. And when... Oh, sorry, my voice cracked or something. Hey, love the show. Go Padres. Gotta go.
Wow.
Was that Chris Ello doing a Barack Obama impersonation?
It sounds like it.
That's amazing.
You know, the most amazing thing is I didn't know Chris Ello had that kind of range.
I feel bad that we ripped him earlier.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Ello is a guy with a huge hog as well. He loves to... He was the one defending the Fanatics see-through pants earlier in the year because he's a man that likes to wear pants that hug his Johnson.
Can you imagine Ello in the studio doing with white baseball pants on? He's sitting there on the YouTube screen. Yo, it's crazy.
He's like I had a professor clearly had a huge hog. He would sit on a normal classroom chair, but have his leg up over the part your back goes on, and have his foot on the the seat,
like the Michael
and
Scott
thing. And
then
he would rock it back and forth.
Oh my God!
He was an old man with a huge hog, and it was just the most distracting thing from American government some kind of government.
Nobody wants to see that
political science class.
Oh, you know what I do want to do?
But that's a classic Ello move, I've heard.
You know what I want to do here? I want to call out Adam Klug.
Uh-huh.
I think that you and I should be invited to the round table.
A fan should be included.
Wouldn't that be
fun? That would be fun. I like how Craig dresses like he's a fan there. Like he's just, he won a contest. He was the sixth caller.
Exactly.
I mean, there's an open seat because Tony Gwynn Jr. is never there.
Right. I mean, he's traveling.
I think that would be a good move.
It really would be. Yeah. You wouldn't have to have two, but like if you did have at least one in there, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
or just do a round table of just listeners. Yeah. And have Ben host it. And that way Woodsy gets a little time off too.
He deserves it.
He really does. Yeah. He really does.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you like the round tables? I don't like them because Ello's on them.
Yeah.
And then I think I touched on this. I think Annie brings up a lot of mediocre points.
Like, yeah.
She's really tied to this, you can't blame the players because they had to go to Korea. Like, keeps using it as this excuse for everything bad. It's like, well, they had to go to Korea.
The Musgrove thing.
I don't know. The Dodgers had to go to Korea, too, and they just won, like, seven games in a row. How come it's not affecting them? How come it only affects us? It's weird.
Yeah. It seems like every season we have
how many excuses do we need to make for them?
Yeah. Right.
The Dodgers are 20-13. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10.
She's not going to rip the players. She's in the locker room every day. She's not going to rip
analysis,
the players.
And I said this, like, Craig is well-researched, comes prepped every day.
Yeah.
And then her addition to the conversation is always like, well, you know, the guys are trying their hardest out there. You know, one thing you can't doubt is how hard they're trying. Like, it's always something soft. You know, there's like hard commentary that's based on fact and statistics. And then she always goes to the soft side. Yeah. You know, whether they're trying, what their attitude is, like things that are
if we just go into Arizona,
unquantifiable.
If we just sweep Arizona this weekend, everything's great.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, if you just do that. Well, maybe the team will sweep Arizona and then sweep the Cubs. And then where are we? This is a Ben move also. He actually said that at one point. When they got swept by the Phillies, he was like, well, what if they just sweep the Reds? Then we're only one game under 500. Okay, yeah, that's true, Ben. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe if they win 20 games in a row, they'll be 16 games over 500. That would be great. Yeah. Yes, thank you for that excellent analysis.
Yeah.
It's really helpful and valuable. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm just glad that we have a professional like Woods and Craig to kind of counteract that.
I will. I do have to read this because someone sent this to me. One of my high level sources. They sent me this screen grab from a comment on Padres Reddit. Gwentelligence is probably the most negative podcast I've ever listened to in my life. These guys are the apex doomers.
Apex.
I get them having serious problems with the 2000s and 2010s Padres teams, but those two guys can't ever let themselves be happy with how anything is going. I love that so much.
I love that. That means we're doing our job.
Exactly.
You know, Padres Reddit's weird in that, Padres Facebook always gets characterized as like the know nothing, I don't know, olds commenting on the team. Padres Reddit is arguably the worst source of Padres discussion. So, like, it's literally in the rules for the Padres Reddit that you're not allowed to be, quote, a doomer. Not allowed to be negative. Like, the moderators can remove posts if they violate the rules for being too negative. Like, it's not an open forum. There's no free speech there, which makes it a completely valueless discussion. And if you read some of the things in there, it's pretty clear a bunch of the writers or commenters on there, they're just Chargers fans. They're like the classic kind that came over from when the Chargers left and look at it from like a Chargers mindset of like, you know, we got to be loud for our team and we got to cheer. They're the classic kind that says you're a bad fan if you don't always support the team, which I argue is one of the worst kinds of fans.
It's the least valuable kind of fan.
And it's actively worse because those fans are the reason that we get, that things like slashing the payroll by $100 million with no comment happens, because they know that as long as they have you being complicit, that you'll keep coming back. You'll keep spending money.
Yeah.
That was the one thing Annie did, actually. I called her a turd polisher, but it's weird because she oscillates between ultimate turd polisher. And then she puts out a comment where they were talking about the Philadelphia Phillies series, and she's like, you know, what these fans don't understand is the only thing the team understands is money. And as long as they keep going to the games and buying tickets, then they don't expect the team to get better. So if you want the team to get better, stop buying tickets. And I could just imagine Gruppner's head exploding, punching the wall.
Losing his shit.
I don't disagree with her. Yeah. She's right.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like,
the entire basis of this podcast started when Marver started a boycott against the team.
Please, more of that honesty.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it was like she like just like
for once put her defenses down and said something that resonated.
You should do.
And look, it's not going to resonate with everyone, but it resonated with someone, unlike everything else she says.
That was dead on. Yeah, he must have lost his shit.
And like you said, Wednesday's game, I don't know, 22,000. I don't know what they reported it as, but it was low 20s in the park.
I would love to see what
the turnstile numbers were.
What it actually said.
35,000.
Probably.
Trust me, it was not 35,000.
No, it was not. Because I was looking around. I mean, it was like,
I've been to enough games, 22, 23, 24,000. It wasn't full, though.
It wasn't full.
You know, but down like, where we were sitting, down low.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But up where the pores were, that like
pretty empty. That 200 section I was in, the 300s were mostly empty.
Yeah.
Park at the Park was empty.
Yeah. But God, that was funny as shit. Yeah. Like, but you stop buying fucking cut waters.
Look,
like,
Annie, people listen to you. Wednesday's game, that's on you and your leadership.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, here, got the box here. I'm trying to find the attendance.
Yeah, Reddit. You think we're negative? Oh, look, God. we're positively reinforcing Annie Howe run right now. That's positivity. Here.
Oh my God.
What'd they report? 35,000? 37,000.
Oh, I'm 32,993. Well,
that's remarkably honest, actually, for the team.
I think it was less than that.
Oh, 10,000. Honestly, I think there's 22,000 in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was
funny. I've been to a lot of Wednesday games. Yeah. Like, it was a 2019 era.
Just to jump back real quick about Padres Facebook, Padres Reddit. I think Padres Facebook, generally stupid. Padres Reddit, specifically stupid. Does that make sense?
Is that tied to people on Reddit think they're smart? Very stupid when it comes to the pod. I'm sure they're intelligent people in general.
It's like specific things that they're really stupid about.
It's like people that have a little bit of knowledge and it's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The Facebook, they have no fucking idea what's going on.
They're absolutely stupid.
Just complete morons. Yeah. 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 But yeah, but I do love the, it's like, what's his dick from fucking EVT with the, why are you complaining about this? It's like,
James Clark.
Yeah. Yeah. With the, at least you don't have Wilt Middlebrooks or whatever. Like, fuck off. Like, we can complain.
Oh, the ones that are like, imagine if you woke up in a coma. Happy you'd be.
Fuck off. Jesus Christ.
James Clark. Is he the guy that has an annual thing celebrating the player that got drunk and then killed one of our top prospect pitchers?
No, that wasn't a. It was his childhood friend. Actually,
wasn't there two?
No,
didn't he kill Ben Howard?
No, Ben Howard was in the back seat, and Ben Howard walked away with just scratches.
For mental.
He wasn't a. Was he a?
Ben Howard was part of our.
Was he a decent prospect?
Super hyped.
Oh, was it? Well, I mean, time. We were super hyping everyone at that point.
This was the PV era in the minors.
Okay.
The story was we would have these aces coming up. It was like Tankersley, Howard, PV. Ben Howard was one of our top pitching prospects. Like, he threw really hard.
Yeah, he was in the back seat.
Okay, so he was only permanently mentally scarred from the incident. Exactly, and then never became anything
afterwards.
Yeah, and
afterwards. Lied to the cops, by the way, afterwards. He said, we all just had two beers at dinner.
Hmm.
Did you?
Huh. Huh, it's weird that they have devices that can measure the amount of alcohol in the system.
Did he not think that they were going to look at that?
Like, imagine celebrating.
It's a double fatality,
imagine,
man.
Imagine celebrating a drunk driver.
Yeah, the guy
who
that
killed
was
a, people.
The guy that was in the front seat was Dar's really good childhood friend. Like, he'd known him forever. Yeah. And I think he was a
we should have a holiday
like
for
that.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, but when's the annual tweet?
Mm. Yeah. Anyway. James Clark. Hey, is he the guy who also made a GoFundMe to try to buy himself a van? A Padres van? Oh, is that him? To hold personal ownership of a van? I think it's that guy. I don't know.
I don't know.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
All right, Corey. We've heard it all. We heard from Barack Obama / Chris Ello.
Oh, Jackson Merrill's 0 for his last 19, by the way, with no walks and 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, I saw he's down to sub-league average hitter, OPS plus of 97. Yeah.
You know what's funny is? Not super but worried. I'm not care. Super worried about him.
I don't really care because they'll just drop him back to 8th or 9th and he's still okay. Like, given the options, he's fine.
Yeah, right.
But it was always inevitable that the league was going to figure him out, study him, find his weaknesses, and they have. You're seeing him swing and miss a little more now. Yeah. You didn't see that at all. He walks kind of, but not a lot.
I'm still not super worried about him, though.
I just don't care.
In my list of things, like, that's not, I don't think that's top 5, just, top 6, anything like that.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Fernando with a 100 OPS plus than I am. Fernando's fine, actually. We didn't talk about this, but he's hitting it really hard. All the metrics say he'll do better. I'm not worried about him. I am a little worried about our old players, but.
I wish Fernando would steal more bases. Actually, as a team, I wish they could get on more bases, but they're really not.
Kim's not getting on base. Like,
Fernando's, and he's leading the team, and Kim's leading the team in stolen bases.
He's the best base dealer. But.
Yeah, which is maybe why he should be leading
this
off.
Goes back to the Profar discussion of, like, it's kind of sad that Profar is our best hitter by far. I know that sounds like a positive story about Jerks and Profar, and it is, but it's also a really negative story about this team in general.
Yeah.
So, Corey, we're going against the Diamondbacks. I learned last year, it's weird, everyone last year would jerk their dicks about Pythagorean record. last year.
Okay.
No one seems to talk about it this year. I think the Diamondbacks have one of the best Pythagorean records in baseball.
Really?
Let's see. Oh, I gotta find it. They have like a plus. They're like plus 30 runs on the Pythagorean. What are your predictions for this weekend? What are your predictions against the Cubs? They'll be going against Imanaga, rookie of the month this month.
He's been better. I mean, he's been like spectacular.
Yeah, he has. Better than Yamamoto has been very good. Yamamoto is striking out like a buttload of players.
Oh my god! Yeah, it was funny after his first outing against us, and it was like, maybe he's not all that great. Actually, yeah, he's really good, like really fucking good.
He's only going to get better, and he's only like 25 or 26. There's a lot of room there.
Exactly. This road trip is going to tell a lot, critical, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job against the Reds.
Yeah,
right. That thinks we're all negative all the time.
Yeah,
they played well. Very positive. They won a series against a wild card.
Hey, a team that's above them in the wild card race.
I said this. I don't care what they do against the Dodgers. They're not better than the Dodgers. No. They're not going to catch the Dodgers. All I care about are those teams in the middle that are competing with us for the wild card, and the Reds are one of them. Unfortunately, the Phillies are one of them also. Yeah. But
beating up on shitty teams.
Sure, getting the wins where you can get it.
Yeah, and like when you go 2-for-2 and...
But I really care about how they do against the wild card teams, because if you really think the team's going to win the World Series or whatever, like, we need to be able to beat those teams.
And that's why that Phillies series, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that was. That's a team you're going to be at the end. That's a good man. Having a guy that just hits 450 foot bombs and the leadoff role is crazy, right?
That's so good. Yeah.
Like, oh.
Just like up and down, their lineup is good. Their pitchers are good. I remember reading, I don't know where I read it, but it was like, you know, I actually think our pitching matchups are favored in two of the three games. And like, they poo-pooed Ranger Suarez. And like, are you new here?
Is he the best pitcher in baseball right now?
One of, if not the.
Like, yeah.
The Phillies were real good. So, you know, we're going against the Cubs, we're going against the Diamondbacks. This is pretty huge.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Diamondbacks are evidence for why I don't really care about Pythagorean record, unless it's, of course, in favor of us. Then we'll talk about it endlessly.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I on paper, we should be better, but we say that all the time. On paper, the Padres should be better.
Right. Well, you know, Jock Peterson's going to hit like three home runs.
I'm going 3-3 in these games.
Honestly, that wouldn't be bad at all.
It'd be fine.
Yeah.
It'd be exactly what they are now. They're a 500 team.
Well, and also because you've got you're going, Cease is tonight. What good.
Yeah.
And then
that's
King.
Good. And then Waldron.
Yeah, and then Waldron. We'll have to see how Waldron does. And then you've got you in Chicago, and then Musgrove, and then
Cease
again, right?
That's good, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Like, yeah, that should be good. Yeah, but Chicago, Wrigley.
Who knows?
Yeah.
This team is unpredictable. It's hard to say.
You said with Wrigley, it's going to be weird because we don't know what's going to be going on with the delays and shit in that city because the fucking weather's
rain
supposed to be
whatever,
so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know.
3-3 That'd be fine.
Our official prediction. That's not negative nor positive.
So we come home still two games under 500.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what we are. We're 500 team.
This is what it is, people.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Enjoy it. 80. Hey, those Park at the Park tickets for against the Dodgers, $80. So have fun watching it on TV
for
$80.
You couldn't pay me $80 to go sit out and Park at the Park with those Dodger
on
games.
On artificial piss turf.
Watching people fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Yeah. No,
on,
thank
with
you.
With a beer fest. I think there's a beer fest,
they're doing
too.
A fucking beer fest.
Group is right on the ball.
Jesus Christ. How many cops are they going to have there? Half of SDPD is going to be out front.
Not enough.
Yeah,
still not enough.
Yeah, just bring out the paddy wagons.
Ugh, awful. Wish they had a euthanization booth there. I forget who took over the stone tap room right there on the Park at the Park. I think it's like Epic Brewing. But they could really make some money contracting out to the city for that euthanization booth.
I like that idea.
Dodgers fans.
Yeah. Have we said it all?
I think we've said it all. We've said it all, Corey. What a long episode. An hour 24. This is a mega, a mega episode.
For if you made it to the end, God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah. You're a true Padres fan.
Yeah. True Padres fan. You too can start a GoFundMe to buy a Padres van for yourself. All right, Corey. Go Padres.
Go Padres.